Hello and happy Friday. Welcome to Up to Date from WBIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto, here to get you caught up with all the interesting and important stories from the WBIA newsroom. We're all about eggs this Good Friday, it seems. There's an egg hunt just for adults coming up this Easter weekend, and we'll discover a Lithuanian egg decorating tradition. It's Friday, April 18th. Let's get you up to date. All right, we'll talk about that adult egg hunt in just a minute. But first, you probably know the story of the Easter Bunny and his eggs. But have you heard of Margučia? It's a Lithuanian egg decorating tradition. But it's mostly been forgotten, except in Columbia County. WBIA's Isabella Weiss has more on a family that keeps the tradition alive.
Margučia is a type of egg sketching technique. Artists dye hollowed out eggs in bright colors like blues, reds, and greens, and etch elaborate designs onto the egg. Christine Lucia says she learned the art from her mother, Elaine. And at her home in Berwick, Elaine pulled out a book from the 70s from her great aunt, who she says was a nun in the Lithuanian order.
And none of us could speak Lithuanian, so we just looked at pictures. And we sat down and we tried scratching eggs, and I was the worst at it. So I made an egg. I thought it was ugly. And so I said, I'm not going to do this craft anymore. I quit.
That's Christine. She says that night she went downstairs and took a second crack at the egg. She still has the second design she ever made, a brown spiraling flower. But for Elaine, Margučia brings her closer to her Lithuanian roots.
But it's important to have traditions. They're rich.
And in one tradition, people smash their Margučia eggs together to see which is the strongest.
I would hit against hers, and whichever egg survived, that person made it to the next round. So if mine cracked, she would get my cracked egg, and then go to the next person.
I'll go to the next person until we find out who that winner is.
She could tell you tons of stories about how her brother filled an egg with
lead,
so he would automatically win the game. No one knew that he had done it. He cheated.
Elaine's brother passed away a few years ago. But Christine says art keeps the memory of those who have passed alive.
When you're doing anything that's a tradition, it doesn't even have to be this craft, it can be anything, it's going to jumpstart memories and it's going to jumpstart stories.
She also has some advice to those looking to get started.
So if you break it, it's okay. You broke a piece of garbage and you just have to be willing to start over.
Christine also runs a website where you can see her work, Art by the Dozen. Reporting from Berwick, I'm Isabella Weiss, WBIA News.
If you want to try making your own Margučia, look for this story at WBIA.org. Christine gave us her directions, and there are plenty of photos of the eggs. Now, as promised, let's talk a little bit about that egg hunt for grown-ups. It's time for Haley's Happy Hour. Take it away, Haley.
I'm Haley O'Brien. This is Haley's Happy Hour, a weekly segment from WBIA News about upcoming events.
It is Easter weekend, and of course, for the kids, there will be plenty of Easter egg hunts, but one just for adults will be held at Grovedale Winery in Bradford County. I am joined by the owner, Kim Homer, and manager and event coordinator, Jess Gunther. We'll start with you, Jess. Tell me about this Sip and Seek adult egg hunt.
Sure. So this is actually our second year doing the adult egg hunt. We had a good turnout last year. Everybody had a great time. We do about 100 eggs. And you start off going out on an egg hunt. We kind of do a shotgun start. Everybody goes out. It includes a complimentary glass of wine, or their first glass of wine, I should say, to, you know, kind of get the momentum started. And then they go out throughout the property, in the vineyard, through our yard, and hunt eggs to win prizes. They come back. They get an array of prizes, such as, you know, some merch, some candy. You might get a gift certificate for a free tasting, that kind of thing. We award the prizes right after the hunt concludes, and then from there we offer live entertainment. So we have Ben Yates coming to entertain us from 4 to 7. So the full event will last from 3 to 7, with the egg hunt starting at 3:15.
And this is a beautiful property here. People will be able to look for the eggs through the vineyard. Kim, let's go to you now. Tell me about the history of this winery and what you offer here.
Well, it's got quite a big history. It dates back to the early 1800s, where the property was gifted to my husband's family for serving in the military, and it has stayed in the family ever since. The vines were planted in the early 2000s, with the vineyard opening in 2008. I'm sorry. The vines were planted in the early 2000s with the winery opening in 2008. So we will be coming up on our 20-year anniversary. So it's got quite a lot of history. Our family, our children are the eighth generation to live on the farm. So we have wine named after them, and we've just tried to keep the history really alive and focused on through the names of our wines, the events we do, the look of the property, and so on.
We don't usually imbibe during the happy hour segment, so I haven't tried your wine, but I heard that you won a big award in 2024.
Yes, so our Optimism Sunrise actually won a double gold in the AWS competition, which AWS stands for the American Wine Society, so it's highly valued. It did fabulous. So that is a sweeter blend, and it also won the Best in Show for the sweet blend category. So we were very proud, but most of our wines have won prestigious awards.
Very cool. Congratulations. What else do you want to tell me about this event? It's Saturday. If it's rainy, will you change the plans?
This event will be held rain or shine, so just come dressed accordingly, whether it's an umbrella or maybe, hopefully not, but a winter jacket, what have you. And then, of course, you're going to want to bring something to collect all your eggs in.
Sounds like a great event, especially for parents if they saw their kids hunting for eggs last weekend and they missed out on the fun. Now they can get involved. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you very much, and appreciate you stopping in today.
It was very nice meeting you. Thank you for coming.
I'm Haley O'Brien. This has been Haley's Happy Hour.
More up to date after this break.
We report to you. Subscribe to the WVIA News Notes e-newsletter for the latest from the news team. Visit wvia.org/news and click on the subscribe button to receive the newsletter every Tuesday and Friday morning.
Welcome back. So you may have heard a little bit about this earlier in the week, but in this week's News Voices, WVIA's Kat Bolus and Lydia McFarlane had a chance to chat about Road to Recovery, a program that helps cancer patients get to their appointments. Here's more.
I'm Kat Bolus, and this is News Voices. During this weekly feature, members of the WVIA news team talk with each other, and sometimes sources, about key things we've learned from the stories we've been working on. I'm here with Lydia McFarlane.
Hey, Kat. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. You did a story recently on the American Cancer Society's Road to Recovery. Can you tell me a little bit about what that program is?
Road to Recovery is a program that exists in the continental United States. It provides free transportation for individuals that are battling cancer. So they have an online ride request database situation. So people that need rides to their appointments can go and request a ride through that forum, and then it will be fulfilled, hopefully, by a volunteer driver.
Is it rides to appointments, treatment, all of the above?
Yeah, so it's all of the above. One of the individuals that I spoke to, he is currently finished with his radiation treatments and goes about every 6 weeks for checkups and x-rays to check on where the cancer is and if it's staying in remission. So he still gets rides through Road to Recovery, even though he's just going for checkups and not necessarily treatment anymore.
So one of the interesting statistics that was in your story was from the Journal of the National Cancer Institute. They say that health-related transportation insecurity is common. So what is health-related transportation insecurity?
Yeah, so absolutely. When people are battling diseases like cancer, it can inhibit their ability to drive. So the individual that I spoke to had brain cancer. Now his transit insecurity was not health related. He actually usually got around with public transit, but even before his diagnosis, when it comes to getting to appointments, they might not be able to take themselves anymore. Or after getting an intense radiation treatment, they might not be strong enough to get themselves home after. So it definitely stands in the way of them being able to, you know, have that autonomy over getting themselves to and from appointments.
The American Cancer Society lost 60% of their drivers in this Road to Recovery program during the pandemic. So what are they doing to recruit more drivers into this program?
So they had to pause during the pandemic just because of safety. But when they resumed the program after the pandemic was over, they found that, like you said, they lost 60% of their volunteer base. So now they're just trying to get the word out about the program and raise awareness and let people know that, hey, this is a great program that we need drivers for. And there's a statistic in my story that here in Luzerne County, there were more than 1,000 rides requested through the program in 2024, and only 600-something were fulfilled. So under 60% were fulfilled. So that's still a lot of people that aren't getting the transportation that they need through the program. You can check on the Road to Recovery website for all of the information regarding how to volunteer, which I do have linked in my digital story as well.
So they have 27 drivers in their Northeast Pennsylvania area, and that includes 8 counties. So I just pulled 3 of those counties out, Sullivan, Pike, Wyoming. So when I think of those 3 counties, they're very rural. So is there more of a need in rural counties versus somewhere like Luzerne or Lackawanna?
I'd say definitely, and this is an issue that has come up in the reporting I've done on rural healthcare, not just this Road to Recovery program. So here in Luzerne County, you have the Henry Cancer Center in Wilkes-Barre. So people that are requesting rides through Road to Recovery, you know, they might be going from Pittston to Wilkes-Barre or Scranton to Wilkes-Barre. But people in those more rural counties might have to travel up to 45 minutes to treatment, and they might not even have the option to take public transit. So there absolutely, I would say, is more of a need because they're traveling farther distances and don't have an alternative. And also, if they wanted to take something like an Uber, that's going to be way more expensive than if someone from Pittston or Scranton or Avoca was traveling to Henry Cancer Center in Wilkes-Barre.
So Lydia's story is available on our website, wvia.org. Lydia, thanks for joining me.
Kat, thanks for having me.
All right, how are we feeling? All ready for the weekend? You can find all of these stories and more at wvia.org or on the WVIA mobile app. Thanks for hanging out with me here on Up to Date This Week. I'm Sarah Cinto, and if you want to keep hearing from me and the rest of the team, remember to subscribe and listen every weekday at WVIA.org or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. I'll be taking a little holiday time on Monday, but Isabella Weiss will be here to catch you up on the weekend's news. Have a great weekend, everyone. I'll catch you next week, right here on Up to Date.